Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. And like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, they are all available on Spotify and on iTunes, so... Well, friends, got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you got to watch some good movies in the last week. And I will get to your recommendations or what you've watched over the last week in a moment, the grab a pencil portion of the program. Not a lot for me this week. I've been in rehearsal for a show that will hopefully open the first weekend in December at Richmond Civic Theater. It is a 1940s radio production of It's a Wonderful Life, where I'll be playing Freddie Fillmore, the announcer, as well as the voices of Potter, Uncle Billy, Joseph the Angel, and many, many others. Anyway, you can go to gorct.org for all the information out there. A socially distant production with socially distant seating. And there will be a streaming event of that if you check that out. Speaking of streaming, it's not film, but I don't care. Indie Jazz Fest has their opening weekend this weekend and next weekend. So go to Indie Jazz Fest's website, indiejazzfest.net, sorry, for more information there. Correction, indiejazzfest.net. I said it right once. So anyway, indiejazzfest.net. Also, I want to thank my buddy Simon Majumdar for being on the show last week. Of course, we plugged his podcast series, Eat My Globe. And this week is part two of the history of curry. So if you're really into curry, and even if you're not, it's a really fun listen as far as the history and the global impact on curry. So go check that out. Okay, starting with last week, there are times if I can get Mrs. Soucy to look up from her laptop while we're watching something that works out well. And it's one it was a film I had missed, and I got a physical copy of it, and I'm glad I did. But the comedy Destination Wedding, which reunites Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves, for you fans of Bram Stoker's Dracula out there, as two outsiders who wind up getting – two snarky individuals who get to know each other because they're both connected to – title of the film. They're both friends of folks involved in a destination wedding. So imagine – Hugh Grant's team of friends and the film being focused mostly on them, on the snarky outsiders. At first, you wonder if how you're going to be able to maintain this type of tone of why do we want to spend 80 to 90 minutes with these people? But as the film goes on, they start to loosen up. They start to connect with one another. Nice chemistry between Reeves and Ryder. And it turns out to be an enjoyable Friday night date film if there ever was one. So that is happening. Go look for that. I also saw a new film, new on video this week. Because I'm a 50-year-old white male, white straight male, I saw the latest Woody Allen film, A Rainy Day in New York. This time, Timothée Chalamet is the doppelganger, this time the Woody Allen type character, a college student named Gatsby, who he and his girlfriend, college-age girlfriend, played by Elle Fanning, go from a small liberal arts school in a small college, I should say, in upstate New York down to New York City so she can interview a brooding director played by Liev Schreiber. Selena Gomez, Diego Luna, Jude Law, and a few others. Rebecca Hall are also a part of this. Hearing Woody Allen in 2020 try to write dialogue for college students, even if they are at a small, prestigious school in upstate New York, kind of makes John Hughes sound like S.E. Hinton. So take that. It looks good, and it shot well, slightly tone deaf. Although, and you do have Cherry Jones with one good monologue in a really underwritten role of the dominating mother over Timothy Chalamet, or so he thinks. So, yeah, that's out there. And there's another film in the work. Well, it's already done. Don't know if it'll see the light of day. So anyway, that is happening there. And then 40 Guns, Criterion had put out the Sam Fuller feminist Western with Barbara Stanwyck and Barry Sullivan. And what happens when a very powerful ranch owner, played by Stanwyck, and a new marshal in town, played by Sullivan, start having feelings for each other, even though he's investigating some shenanigans involving members of her crew. It's a black and white film in CinemaScope and looks really good. Some crackling dialogue because it's Sam Fuller. And even though it's in black and white, this is not a black and white Western. It's really well done and good performances by everybody across the board. But anybody who complains that Westerns are just dusting horses, well, they need to clean their ears and wipe their eyes and check out something like this. So congratulations. Well, congratulations to me. I finally got to check that out. And I used 40 Guns to kind of cleanse my palate, a monumental thing, at least in the film watching portion of Soce Hall, also known as my house. I finally finished Criterion's Ingmar Bergman box set. It took me over a year, better late than never, a 30 Blu-ray collection of the films of Ingmar Bergman. Now, I'm hoping to write about this later on, and if so, I will shamelessly plug it. But what was great about this was the variety of stuff. I think when you think Ingmar Bergman, obviously films like Persona, Seventh Seal, Wild Strawberries, but there's way more to Bergman than those. And there was a lot of his earlier films, especially, that I had never seen. So I was really happy to dive into that. This collection was not in chronological order. It was curated. And so it's interesting to see the ebbs and flows as far as either genre or era or tone or subject matter. And it was a great thrill ride cinematically to look at his work and also revisit some other films of his that I have not seen in a while. Nobody does Inner Turmoil like Ingmar Bergman. And I think what's also interesting about this collection and his body of work is there's a lot of different factions of film fans that owe a debt to Ingmar Bergman. For example, if you're a musical theater fan and you love A Little Night Music, you really should check out Smiles on a Summer Night. If you are a horror fan, if you are a fan of a film like the original Last House on the Left, you really owe yourself to watch The Virgin Spring. I remember for the film Yap, one of his rare comedies was a film called The Devil's Eye. And if you're a fan of The Good Place, I think you should check that out. If you're a Woody Allen fan, and there's still some out there, obviously several of his films had a huge influence on Allen. And I, of course, remember little bits in Allen's films like, the presence of death in Love and Death, the split screen of the two ladies at the end of Love and Death as well. I believe it's in Bananas where Allen's character has a dream of two crucifixion groups fighting over a New York City parking space. Things like that. So you have the stuff that maybe hard to watch, like Persona or The Seventh Seal. Seventh Seal is about reacting to death. Persona is about how we become, we are one half, two halves of one person and sometimes another person. Wild Strawberries is probably the best film about nostalgia. Hello, Jeff Marker. So, I'm not going to rank them. I don't want to do that. But I also think of the chamber dramas like Cries and Whispers and Autumn Sonata, Fanny and Alexander, Through a Glass Darkly. The other thing that was cool for this collection, I had never seen the full-length versions of Scenes from a Marriage or Fanny and Alexander. I'd only seen the original, the theatrical cuts of those. Both were made for Swedish television, and both wound up also getting a theatrical release. If I had to pick a favorite, I think the one I keep gravitating toward is Scenes from a Marriage with Liv Ullmann and Erland Josephson. It's a five-hour cut, five-hour original broadcast for television, and then I believe Fanny and Alexander is about the same way. And but I love the verbal tennis match and the silent tennis match between Anderson and Josephson. It still holds up for me. And I know they're going to try to do a remake with Michelle Williams and Oscar Isaac. Good luck, gang. And Scenes from Fanny and Alexander is one of his best looking films. And that was his kind of final film, although he did do, I think it was for Swedish television, but also got a theatrical release. He did do an unofficial sequel to Scenes from a Marriage called Sarah Band, where it's the same characters only back in the 2000s. And it was kind of a nice little bow to that career. So I was engaged thoroughly in both long original versions. And since we're still kind of in pandemic, but some of us are still in quarantine, as I kind of said with The Irishman last year, now that we're mostly indoors, I don't hear anybody complain about a film being too long. And I still blow snark at Lord of the Rings, I know. But neither one feels like 5 hours, and I highly recommend it. So I'm really, really happy I got to experience a number of his films for the first time and revisit some of his classic work. I remember trying to watch Persona and Seventh Seal and Wild Strawberries when I was in college. And as I've said many times on this show before, the art doesn't change. We change. You hear that, Lucas and Spielberg? The art doesn't change. We change. So now that I'm older and being able to revisit Wild Strawberries and Persona and Seventh Seal and Winter Light for you fans of Faith, it was fun to revisit those. And you should never forget his core of actors, including Max von Sydow, Liv Ullmann, B.B. Anderson, Erland Josephson, Harriet Anderson. The man had two great cinematographers working with him early on, Gunnar Fischer, and of course Sven Nykvist afterwards. I don't think he made a bad film. He had weaker efforts, especially some of his early films, as well as something like The Serpent's Egg, which was kind of his version of Cabaret. But yeah, it was also, I should say, full disclosure, there was a half-off Criterion sale, one of those flash ones that happened, and that's part of the reason why I got this. So anyway, salute to Ingmar Bergman. Thank you for your film contributions, and people are still going to be discussing your films for a long, long time. And it's kind of a big cinematic weight that I got these 30 discs completed. And it's funny with a collection like this, if I was given an official assignment, obviously I would have gone through it quicker. I just got a big assignment from a large box set I got in the mail yesterday, which I'll be talking about later on, well, not this week, but hopefully start of it on next week's program. But, you know, I'm sure I would have kicked myself in the pants and get moving on that a little quicker. But interesting, watching it during, trying to finish it during the pandemic, because my first priority would be screeners that have been sent to me or videos that have been sent to me. And then if I had spare time or spare energy to sit down and plop in a Bergman film. So, you know, they came in spurts where, especially if there were not a lot of special features, because I'm that guy, you know, some days if I'd go through a couple of discs in a week, or sometimes it would take me a week to get through a single disc. So anyway, first world problems. I finished it. I'm glad I did. And I know Criterion has put out there will be putting out later this month a box set of Fellini films. So who knows? You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Going around the horn, see what's at the drive-ins and as far as virtual events. The Tibbs is closed for the season. Thank you, Tibbs. Over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville this weekend, they're showing the Vince Vaughn Swapping Bodies with a Deranged Serial Killer film Freaky, as well as the Peter Jackson film The Frighteners from 1996 with Michael J. Fox. That is happening this weekend at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. Of course, over at IU Cinema, you have Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President through November 18th. These are all virtual events. Nation Time through December 2nd, Radium Girls through December 2nd, City Hall through December 2nd, Tuesday, November 17th, a special virtual event of Change the Subject. Producer Oscar Ruben Cornejo Cesares is scheduled to be present for a virtual conversation and interactive Q&A with IU Library's Diversity Committee. And then Friday, November 20th, a special virtual event of a conversation on Afro-Atlantic legacies. All of that is happening at IU Cinema. And at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin on Saturday, November 14th at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., Cartoons for Cans. That is for the Interchurch Food Pantry. And Saturday, November 14th at 7:30 p.m., a Brew and View event, Roadhouse. And November 20th and 21st at 2 and 7:30 p.m. And then November 22nd at 2 and 5:30 p.m., the Bells of St. Mary. All of that is happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. All right, let's get to your films that you watched. Starting on Twitter, Eric writes, Jojo Rabbit and the Original Fright Night. Hopefully no disco scenes in that. Well, there is a disco scene in Fright Night. I'll tell you that story a little later on. It's my film genre class from college. Britt writes, Borat subsequent movie film, as well as Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy and Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Jared writes, A Face in the Crowd and The Conversation. Incredible performances in both. Amy writes, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. Michael writes, Topper Returns and The Trial of the Chicago 7. Steve writes, Signs on a Screen in the Backyard. Very cool, Steve. Catherine writes, Dark Waters, The Current War, and The Queen's Gambit. Richard Probst, wow. I Spit on Your Grave just released a definitive box set with the director's cut, the original film, plus I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu and Growing Up with I Spit on Your Grave, a documentary. I know you can handle that, Richard. Thank you. Evan writes, been watching all of Michael Mann's films. and Sam writes, The Trial of the Chicago 7, Pineapple Express, as well as Athlete A. Joe writes, Mandy and Hillbilly Elegy. Yep. Daniel writes, Who Slew Auntie Rue? The Dolly Parton biography, Dolly. The In-Laws, the original from 1979. The Dead and Justice for All. The Parallax View. The Man Who Would Be King. Born Yesterday. Wise Blood. And the two Mrs. Carrolls. Lou writes, Long Day's Journey Into Night, Hutt and Henry. 8 Days on Eight on the Lam. The Nance. Man of La Mancha. The Dead Don't Die. Black Christmas. And For Those Who Think Young. Nick writes, Arrival, Money Plane, Tommy Boy, and Real Genius. And that's Nick Rogers, and he, of course, had to connect with that, his Film Yap column from Class of 1985, Real Genius, and My Science Project. Teresa writes, Hidden Figures. Craig writes, Another Year, the Mike Lee film, and the series of Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Carrie writes, Book Club. Nancy writes, Fatima. Dustin writes, Lost in Yonkers, American Hustle, and Springsteen on Broadway. Good call, Dustin. I was actually listening to Springsteen on Broadway earlier this week in my car. Physical copies, because I'm that guy. Cassie writes, Rewatching the Dark Shadows episodes from the 60s and 70s. Jamie writes, Infinity War, lots of Christmas shorts with the kids, and A Christmas Prince on Netflix. Sarah writes, We watched all the Bourne movies. Did you have Dramamine as you were watching those? Okay, maybe not the first, but the ones by... Anyway. Devin writes The Incredibles, Incredibles 2, and Finding Nemo. Joellen writes The Trial of the Chicago 7. Corey writes The New Borat Film, Incredible. Britt writes, again, Adam's Family. Oh, the original Adam's Family film from 1991, as well as the animated remake from 2019, Adam's Family Values, Widows, I Am Woman, and Over the Moon. Tony writes, Knives Out, Gook, and Black Klansman. Andrew writes, Knock Knock, and I Love You, Man. Hope you're listening to Rush while watching that film. Cheryl writes, David Fincher's The Game. Gary writes, The Devil Bat and Alucarda. Lisa writes, Always. Terry writes, Speaking Parts, Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, Twin Peaks The Missing Pieces, Saturday in Peking, Surface Tensions, and 49th Parallel. A couple more here. Chloe writes, Beetlejuice and The Haunting, and Ron writes, The Other Half, Quite Charming. And there you are, folks. Those are the films you all watched this week. So hope you got some ideas. Hope you are discovering new films, or at least films that are new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. And hope you're being good to one another. And well, I'll list some more titles next week. Take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!